A motorcyclist has died after a crash at the Ulster Grand Prix yesterday. Jimmy Hodson was from Wigan and was 35 years of age. The incident at the Dundrod circuit also involved his brother Rob, who was not seriously injured. The Ulster Grand Prix brands itself as the world's fastest road race. But after another tragedy, is now the time for action to be taken to stop deaths at motorbike road races? Or are participants well enough aware of the risks to make their own choices? Well, on the line this morning, the commentator Malachy O'Doherty. Malachy, good morning.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning. And the former road racing champion, Philip McCallan. Good morning to you, Philip.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning.
Morning, Malachy.
Well, Philip, obviously our thoughts are with the family and friends of Mr. Hodson. And it is yet another tragedy within the sport, Philip.
Yes, terrible, terrible, sad. You know, Jimmy did not need this, and the sport didn't need it, and it was just an accident that happened, and unfortunately, it resulted in a fatality.
Yeah, and we've said this before, haven't we? The debate is around whether you call something an accident when you're going at hundreds of miles an hour.
Well, Stephen, it was an accident. I'm not sure of the exact circumstances of the crash, but, you know, I believe two motorcycles touched in some way or another. There was an accident. One had a more severe impact than the other. One lad is now out of hospital, I believe it's Jamie's brother, with no serious injuries. And unfortunately, we're here very sad that Jamie has lost his life.
But is there no amount of deaths that the sport will arrive at where they will say, that's enough? We have to either stop or slow down.
Well, what we do every time, you know, the Ulster Grand Prix Club is one of the leading clubs in Ireland for safety, safety, safety. We are all our safety is paramount. And what they've been doing over the last 10 years and before that is any obstacles, anything where there can be impact or anything that can be removed and replaced by a temporary fence. Has been done, many electric poles, trees. They have done many, many things to remove obstacles. So if there is an accident, it's as safe as possible. Unfortunately, you know, it's been years and years since there's been an accident on the back part of the course, a serious accident at the Ulster Grand Prix. And this is just an accident. Until it's investigated fully and there is reports on it, we're just not able to comment on exactly what happened.
Malachy?
Well, Philip, you know, this was an accident, yes, but it was a predictable accident. We know these happen. We know that the death toll from road racing in Northern Ireland has not changed appreciably since the worst ticket, I suppose, was the 1970s when in Northern Ireland we had 11 deaths. It went down to 8 and then 7 even in the 80s and 7 in the 90s. It's back up in the 2000s with 9 deaths. We're into the 2010s, another decade with 8 so far, and you know, and still 3 years to go of this decade. So all the safety measures are not making any difference to the death toll. If anything, the death toll is creeping back up again. We can call it an accident, but it was a predictable accident. We know that there will be people dying at road racing in Northern Ireland, you know, not every year, but certainly every other year, and that this will continue. Now, that's the price that people are willing to pay, okay, if they know that they risk their lives, and nothing I say or you say is going to discourage them from doing that. But I think it's broad. The problem for me and the problem for a lot of people is that this is bigger than just the experience of the riders themselves, that in a sense we're all implicated as a potential audience, as you know, within the media, which covers this and use quite glorifying language. I don't want to ban these races because I think if you ban the races, then people will go on and they'll do road racing illegally in private because it is such a big thing for them. But I do think we should have a tone in our coverage of them and our response from government to them that essentially discourages this because it has come to be like a religion with human sacrifice.
The Ulster Grand Prix, Malachy, brands itself as, quote, the world's fastest road race.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and maybe it is, you know, certainly, I mean, the Isle of Man TT had a big feature about it in the New Yorker magazine during the summer, calling it the world's most dangerous race. You know, the Northwest 200 is similarly dangerous and costs lives routinely. You know, it's just you know, it's just a thing that that we're stuck with. It's there will be these deaths, but we cannot really say that, you know, that we didn't expect this. We can't say, yeah, it was an accident. An accident of two riders traveling at a huge speed touch each other when they don't intend to. But they know, with every rider going on to the course, racing in any of these races, knows that that they risk their lives in doing so, and knows that if not this year, then next year, somebody will die.
So what do you want to happen, Malachy?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't see that that you can ban it, because I think the danger is it would go underground. But I do think, for instance, that you know, the media should be particularly careful in the way it reports on this. This is, you know, riders have spoken about their own obsession, the buzz they get from it. You know, there's something addictive about this. I think, you know, I would hate to think that anything that I would say in response to a race would encourage a young person to take up that race. I would think if I am a reporter covering a race and I am using language which celebrates the achievements of these riders, then I am in danger of somebody out there listening to that and thinking, God, I want to be like Guy Martin. I want to be like Joey Dunlop. You know, I want to be out there riding. I want to be like Philip McCallan, you know, because I don't want people to be like Philip McCallan and Joey Dunlop and Guy Martin. I want young people to be fully informed and fully discouraged from a sport that that brings them so little other than the thrill. I mean, Rory McIlroy takes up a sport and can become a millionaire. We're not hearing about Ryan Farquhar being a millionaire, you know, from his great achievements in road racing.
Fred in Lisburn wants to speak to you, Malachy. Go on, Fred.
Surely, Fred, go ahead.
Good morning, Malachy. First of all, congratulations on your new psychic powers predicting accidents. Nobody goes out there to predict when an accident is going to take place. We, as road race fans, and I've been a road race fan when Philip McCallum, good morning, Philip, as well, by the way.
Good morning.
Was when you took your achievement at the Northwest and places like that. I have been a road race fan when, unfortunately, Philip, you were caught round the back end of the circuit at one point. And
yes, yes.
You remember as well, too, and it's a freak accident. Nobody knows that's going to happen. We do not go out to say these boys are going to touch midair and this is going to happen. It's
no,
a non-contact
No, Fred.
Sport.
No, Fred, of course not.
Sport. So it is.
There are statistics.
All sports stars, yeah. I expect all yeah. sports fans.
Yeah. Yeah. But Malachy, I hit the butt in, but when you're talking about statistics, you know, when we're talking about statistics, you have to be fair to the thing. Like, you know, in Ireland, on an average a year, 137 people die with water-related deaths. So, you know, are we going to say everyone goes on a boat is going to die, there's going to be a death? Yes, an average of 137.
Yeah.
But to predict that there's going to be an... It's a very cruel thing to do, Malachy, to say you're going to...
It's not, Philip. It's not. No, the statistics are there. I mean, You can play with I can play with statistics in a destructive way. Most people die in bed. We don't want to ban sleeping, right? But you know, the fact is that we know there is a statistical routine of deaths at road racing in Northern Ireland, right? And that has been going on for
since
the beginning of the sport.
We are the people.
And well, you
that.
Do know
we
it.
We know the rest.
You do know
and
it.
We've
yeah.
made the choice.
What are you doing about it? And what are you doing about it? None of the same.
Right. Okay, I don't know. Okay,
hold on now. Hold on. One at a time. One at a time. Well, yes, but I think Malachy's got to be able to also, because there are two of you this morning. Against him. So Malachy's got to be able to finish his point. Fred, you can put the point to Malachy, but Malachy's got to be able to reply. Go on, Fred.
That's fair enough. Basically, Malachy, what are we doing about it? We have approached the Assembly. We have got money from the Assembly to improve safety on the road racing courses throughout the whole of Northern Ireland. We are bringing young riders on with the likes of great riders like Glenn Irwin and Alistair Seeley, who are going out on track days and teaching these riders how to ride the bikes fast, but also how to ride them safely. And Philip, I think you were at one of the days along with them.
Yes.
Right, so let's let Malachy speak to you, Fred.
Fred, is there an acceptable level of death in road racing? Is there? Is there an acceptable level of carnage in this sport? Because if there isn't an acceptable level of carnage, then you have to look at all the safety measures have not changed the death toll over the last 30, 40 years. They've not changed it. Now, do you not regard that as a problem? Is that not a problem for the sport?
Malachy, I refer you back to my answer that I gave you. We are investing heavily in safety for the sport.
And making no difference. And making no difference.
We are celebrating the achievement.
Go and look at the figures.
Like anybody else would celebrate their achievements in their sport, which I am 100% happy with. I did, and I state at the start, I do not want to see riders go out and get killed. I do not want to see anybody get killed in any sport. I want to go and enjoy the Ulster Grand Prix, enjoy the North West.
Can someone explain to me, Philip or Fred, can I have the two of you explain to me how you do ride safely at hundreds of miles per hour?
Well, you try to be, it's a race, so it's everyone pushing to the max.
I know it's a race. The question is, how do you ride safely at those speeds?
Well, what you try to do is predict each corner at the maximum speed without going over the edge, brake as safe as possible, and not do anything outrageous.
But those are split-second decisions.
We're trained, like you are, Stephen. You're an excellent broadcaster and presenter. And
that's not often said.
To do it. Well, I have to give you credit.
Okay.
You do a good job, and that's your game. And our game is motorcycles. So all we can do is, and we know this is a very dangerous sport, and we know if, you know, I'm approaching a corner at 180 miles an hour, 200 miles an hour, and I make a mistake, it could end in my losing my life. So you don't make those mistakes. So we practice. We try to get it right, and then we compete in a race.
Yeah, but if you don't get it right, you're seriously injured or dead.
Yes, well, we know the consequences. You know, we're well aware of that. And that's why we perfect to get it right. Measures work tirelessly, endlessly.
So think that through. And look, I get it that it is a very popular sport. Okay, I get it. But think through what you're saying there, Camley. That if a split-second decision, we are promoting and accepting in this day and age an activity where if a human being gets a split-second decision wrong, they're dead.
Stephen, that's in every aspect of life. When we step off the footpath, we make a decision. Can we get across the road before that car hits us? Can we not? It's the same every day in life. You know, you make a decision.
That's a farcical thing. No, Philip, really,
It's not. You make a decision. It's just, Malachy, it's the same.
Well, let's let Malachy put his point to you, then you can reply, of course.
I mean, I know you don't like statistics and the rest of it, but actually, you know, when I step off the footpath, I look to my left, I look to my right, I look to my, or whatever it is. I do it, I'm right, left, and right again, you know, and I've, yes, people get killed on the roads. Yes, pedestrians get killed crossing the road. But the proportion that get killed is actually, given the numbers you're crossing the road all the time, is far, far, far less than the numbers that killed in road racing. Now, how many people, for instance, Philip, do you know personally who have been killed or injured in road racing over the last 10, 20 years? How many do you know?
Yeah, I know quite a few, Malachy. I don't have the number in front of me, and I'm not going to guess.
But would it be more than half a dozen?
Yes, there would be more than
half a dozen. And you've been to their funerals?
I have very, very sad time. I have supported those people and their families the best I can in those days of mourning.
But
Malachy, everything in life is a decision. You know, if we go to horseback riding, we go to boxing, these are extreme sports, Malachy. Every one of us know if a horse approaches the Grand National jump wrong, he takes off wrong, he lands long, he could lose his life. But he's an expert rider, and he tries to do that the best he can.
Well, Jimmy
That's
Hudson
what we do
was an expert
that.
Rider. Jimmy Hudson was a Max GP Super Twins champion. Right.
He was. He was an excellent.
He was a superb rider. He could do things I couldn't dream of being able to do. And yet he died yesterday, didn't he?
Right. We don't know all the circumstances yet, but it's possible that accident was not Jamie's fault. We don't know the reason yet. It could have been mechanical. It could have been caused by someone else and unfortunately out of Jamie's control. But we know that.
All those other factors. And tell me another thing, Philip. How much do riders get? You know, Rory McIlroy, Carl Frampton, they take up a sport. They achieve the level of excellence that Jimmy Hudson achieved in his sport, and they become millionaires out of it. How many of your riders are millionaires? You're out there promoting these superbikes, sponsored by various motorbike manufacturers. You're part of the marketing strategy of the motorbike manufacturers. Are you making millions out of it?
No, but it's not about money. Malachy, I know a lot of things.
Are they uniquely ripped off among great sports people?
Malachy,
are they uniquely ripped off among great sports people in that they don't even get paid well for what they do?
We're not ripped off, Malachy. The money isn't in the sport. The golf is and football are leading world sports with leading world coverage. That's why there's leading world money in it. It's all paid pro rata. You know, in Ireland here, you might not know it, but we have world archery champions. You know, they get nothing. They pay to go to their own event. So it's not about
okay,
money.
Let me bring in some of our other callers this morning. Dennis in Whitehead. One second. 030-30-80-55-55. Go ahead, Dennis.
Stephen, I'm very sorry about what happened to that chap, and indeed with similar things have happened in the past and have happened in the Isle of Man as well. But this business of racing on country roads, roads that were designed 50, 60 and 70 years ago for country traffic and are twisted and turned and all the rest of it, they were never ever built for speeds of coming up to 200 miles an hour. Never ever. If you want to race at that sort of speed, you need a specialised, prepared racing track for it. You know, it's the equivalent of taking a racing car and putting it onto a road like that there. It just doesn't work. It's not safe, and it never will be safe.
And Billy in Belfast. Morning, Billy.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Doing all right today.
Oh, fine. I just think Malky's talking a lot of tripe as usual.
Would you like to speak to him?
No problem.
How are you doing, Billy?
I'm not doing bad at all, Malky.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about, you're insulting the people who take part in a lot of sports. There's people die climbing Mount Everest. They're not exactly speeding. As you happen to touch upon, there's people in road traffic accidents. Look at the numbers of those who die. And I know there's far more of them, but they're not setting out to do any excessive speeds or break the speed limits or race. But they do die because something goes wrong. They'll lose concentration, do something wrong themselves, or there's some mechanical problem with whatever they're driving, whether it be a motorbike or a motor car. And there's lots of other sports people die in. But the people know the risk, and you're insulting by telling them they don't. Of course they do. And the people go to watch it know that there's risk attached to it. That's their business, not yours. And certainly when you brought money into it, I mean, why are you talking about money? I don't think many of them start off when they're getting pennies before they get sponsorship. The race for the fun of it. To them, it's the fun, the thrill, whatever you want to call
it. Let Malachy respond to you.
Okay.
No intention to insult anybody. I mean, I think the Ulster Grand Prix in many ways is an amazing event. As a sporting event, for instance, I mean, it raises money for charity for Marie Curie. It attracts the support of other personalities and sports stars. It gives people who are fans of the sport a kind of unique access even to riders and the machines. I mean, we know all that. I have no intention of insulting the people themselves, and I'm surprised that anything I said was interpreted as a direct insult to individual people. In terms of bringing the money into it, this is my curiosity as an outsider. Road racing is part of the marketing strategy for big, big rich companies who are manufacturing motorbikes. You know, so those companies, you know, if I am making myself part of the marketing strategy of a motorcycle manufacturer, you know, why would I risk my life to promote somebody else's product and not expect to be well paid for doing that? That just seems to me to be an obvious thing.
But you're putting a question to me or your audience. You ask the riders; they seem to be quite satisfied. I don't hear them complaining about it.
Well, if
you can get them more money, great. Everybody would like a bit more money. But I think if they were getting less money, even what there is, they would still race.
They would do it. Well, yeah, they would do it.
And they do
describe the buzz. They do speak as if this buzz is the biggest thing you could ever have. And you do see that that riders who give it up because they are freaked out by the danger. Well, then a couple of years later, think of getting back on a bike and doing it again.
Okay,
because
Alan.
That compulsion, that obsession.
Alan and Carrick Fergus next. Morning, Alan.
Morning, Stephen. I just wanted to make a quick point to Philip. Philip, you raised the issue of the Grand National and the fatalities of the horses there, and you're not really helping your case by doing that, mate, because, yes, horses were being killed in the Grand National left, right and centre, but they actually did something about it. They made the fences a little bit smaller, the drop-offs on the other side of the fences, they decreased those, and they made other adjustments so that the horses weren't coming into the fences as fast as they always did. And going, you know, so the level of fatalities in the Grand National these days is nowhere near what it used to be.
Equally, Alan, and I'm sure Philip can tell you about this more, much more than I can, motorbike racing has made strides to try to make their sport safer.
But it's not working, Stephen. If Malachy's, I've no reason to doubt Malachy's statistics. If Malachy's figures are correct, it's making absolutely no difference.
Do you want to respond,
Philip? Maybe the bikes are faster now than 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, but Alan, I apologise to anyone who thinks I was picking on horse racing. I was only doing a comparison of using as an example of other sports when it happens. And I know good horse racers, and I know people who do it. And yes, they are the exact same as motorcycling. We are striving to make this better, 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 and safer and safer.
And faster, faster, faster?
Yeah, faster as well.
But surely safer and faster are contradictions.
Stephen, as you probably know, not these speeds. These are not 200-mile-an-hour crashes. This was probably a 100-mile-an-hour crash where something went wrong. And we're removing every obstacle we can to do that, just like in the horse racing, to make it safer. And we are striving, and there's safety committees sort of regularly visiting each one of these tracks and coming up with plans to make it safer and safer. And at long last...
Philip, can I ask a question? And look, yes? I get it that this is based on the naivety from my part of the sport.
Yes, okay.
But if it is about the technical expertise of managing a road at a certain speed, okay?
Yes, yes.
And how you go round a corner and how you control a bike, why could the speed not be capped at a certain speed, and then it does come down to the skill and expertise of a driver, of a rider?
Right. That is a brilliant point, Stephen, and that is actually being discussed all the time.
But not being implemented.
It is, in a way. We haven't seen all the implications of that yet, but that is being studied at the minute about putting a limit. It's very, very hard to do it, but they're doing it in other...
Wouldn't it be hard to limit the speed at which a motorbike can go at it, would not?
It's all because of weight and power to ratio. It isn't just as simple as you're saying there, but I know that is being looked at as well. So we are doing everything to do that.
Okay.
And, you know, when we talk about promotion and money, I think it's very unfair to bring this money into it, because it's not about money.
Okay, Philip, we've got to leave it there, sir. But thank you very much, Malachy, as always. Thank you very much indeed. And thank you for listening to us today.